Michael Farber on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Wrangler's Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Carey Price. Choose Wrangler's Cool Vantage Jeans to be cool and stay cool.
Good evening, Michael. How you doing?
Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, Simon.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm doing terrific, thanks.
So, Michael, we're getting ready for this football game yesterday, and, you know, I'm just listening to the TSN guys, and we have ourselves what seems to be a very lopsided affair. The Calgary club with the best offense, the best defense, the best quarterback, the best wide receiver crew, the best running back crew, and this game seems like it's going to be so lopsided. The only great storyline leading into this game was that Henry Burris, the former great Stampeder quarterback, will make a run at this and try to keep this competitively. And here we are, minutes before kickoff, his knee buckles and he's goes back to the locker room and not certain if he was going to come back and play in this game. I just want to get your thoughts at that point with all the hype and all the buildup. What are you thinking at this point?
Are you sure he went back to the locker room? I think he went to Lourdes. I think he was healed by faith. And, I mean, Henry Burris is... Let's put it this in a nice way. He's dramatic. Everything about Burris has been dramatic for years. I can't think of anybody in the CFL, not that I spend a whole lot of time thinking about the CFL, but when I do, I can't think of anybody who is a walking soap opera like Henry Burris. So, you know, he limps off, and then he comes back 15 minutes later, and he's jumping up and down, and he's running. And you saw the movie When Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this old-timer, and I'm now a senior citizen, and I'm thinking like the Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal scene in the diner.
Yes.
I'll have what he's having. I thought that was a great comeback. So if he doesn't return to the Ottawa Red Blacks next year, and with the Grey Cup in Ottawa, I suspect he might. He can always go to Niagara on the Lake and the Shaw Festival, and there'll be a place for him on stage.
Nice. But I just want to let you know that Mitch Gallo had it before the Grey Cup. That was a 50% chance that it'd be the Alouettes starting quarterback next year, which is a huge number. And after the Grey Cup victory, Mitch Gallo has bumped that up to 55% probability that it'll be the quarterback of the Alouettes next week.
It's funny, though, because there are some similarities to Anthony Calvillo. This was, I guess, his second Grey Cup, and Burris is maybe his best performance ever. I mean, he's 41 years old, but my goodness, he was throwing the ball great. Essentially, he threw for a quarter mile, a little bit more. It was fabulous watching him. I mean, you know he's going to make a mistake, and it was intercepted once. Oh, Levi Mitchell was intercepted three times, but it didn't hurt him. He was bailed out by his defense, and so the bad Hank that we always hear about, it really didn't matter. He was good, Hank. He was throwing for touchdowns. He was running for touchdowns. He seemed under control. He was throwing some great balls. And the vaunted Calgary defense, as you point out, Simon, really wasn't there at all.
So, Michael, you know, a lot was made of the fact that 40 years for championships being won in Ottawa, this drought that had been over, and, you know, how much tough times they faced with their football team in Ottawa. What do you think of the city of Ottawa as a football town?
Well, you can look at it and remember Montreal. I mean, when the Alouettes Concords died, most people shrugged that first time. And that's exactly what happened in Ottawa when they buried a pair of franchises. I mean, that's happened twice to them. And now it's back, and they're selling out the stadium, and there's a level of enthusiasm that we haven't seen. It might correspond with the dip in enthusiasm for the Ottawa Senators, who seem to be having trouble drawing. Maybe you can't be wildly enthusiastic about two franchises at once, although Montreal right now, with the Canadiens and the Impact, seem to be doing exactly that. Ottawa's a small place, but they seem to have revived it with a makeshift name that originally the league wanted to throw an "and" in to make them the Ottawa Red and Blacks. And and it just didn't work out that way. So Red Blacks is kind of a thing now, no matter how silly the name might be. They seem to be a well-coached team, and they got lucky with Burris, and they have another pretty good quarterback in Trevor Harris. So I would not be averse to seeing Henry Burris in Montreal for a season, knowing that it would be for one season only. And at some point, whoever is running this team, whether it's Brock Sunderland, who would be disappointed if he doesn't get a shot at that job, Danny Maciocia, who's everybody's favorite, you know, he's been around the CIS. You need to know the U.S. football players as well, and he hasn't been doing that. So maybe Maciocia comes in as president of football operations and Sunderland becomes the general manager, and you have Jacques Chapdelaine as a coach. I could live with that.
Michael, we spoke about Ottawa. You spoke about Ottawa as the football market, but what about Toronto? They kind of got a late push as a sellout, but we saw some of the gimmicks that they were doing on social media, pretty much giving away pizzas and fries and Coca-Cola, and gets you two tickets to the game. They've gone back a couple of times. Is it safe to say that the CFL might stay away from the Toronto area for the foreseeable future? Not forever, but for the next couple of years?
Oh, well, certainly I think this has put the Grey Cup in Toronto back at least a decade.
A decade.
I don't see why any reason to go there at all. In fact, as great a game as it was, and let's acknowledge it was one of, if not the greatest Grey Cup game in history. And again, I've only been in Canada since 79. And my exposure to the Grey Cup in the 60s was watching the Fog Bowl and the Mud Bowl on Wide World of Sports. ABC used to show that. So, you know, that was it for me. So I'm not exactly a CFL historian here. But yeah, it was a great game. But how much damage did you do in your market by papering the house in the way you did? You used the phrase sellout. We can't call it a sellout. We can say a capacity house if it was indeed that, because most, if not all, of the seats were filled, but certainly not all those tickets were sold. And if you paid face value for a ticket, and I know someone who paid $618 for it, how do you feel when the guy sitting next to you paid, zero, because there were so many tickets, in fact, given away? I think you need a strong franchise in Toronto, or at least a franchise in Toronto, but you've alienated people who actually buy tickets. And I think that ticket policy, more than empty seats, it was a great embarrassment for the CFL.
Simon Sligas in for Mitch Melnyk. This is Melnyk in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Mitch Gallo and Dave Chenadui in conversation with Michael Farber. Michael, this weekend, the passing of Fidel Castro making huge news right across the world. Back and forth with Justin Trudeau's comments and all that stuff, but I don't want to get too political. But at the end of the day, he was a great fan, a huge fan of sport, wasn't he?
He was, and he used sport, not quite in the way that the East German government did, but he used sports, especially Olympic sports, to drive his nation in terms of feeling good. And Cuba was a sporting power, this tiny island nation 90 miles off the coast of the United States. Boxers were terrific in the 70s, and there were some other great athletes like Alberto Wantarena, who we saw in Montreal in 76, winning the 400 and 800, setting a world record in the 400. And these were not events that were paired. I mean, he was El Caballo, the horse. He was, no one had seen anything like him. And even now, the high jump record is held by a Cuban, Javier Sotomayor, who was the only man to clear 8 feet, and that's 2.45 if you're metrically inclined. Great athletes, but ultimately, including all the baseball players, and we had Tony Perez in Montreal, and generations before that, there was Camilo Pascual, pitcher for the Washington Senators, and Louis Tiant, who got out earlier. But if you look at what happened, sport ultimately became an embarrassment for Castro's Cuba, because baseball players were trying to leave left, right, and center. And we saw that players like Yasiel Puig and all kinds of horrific stories about people leaving. And the sporting infrastructure didn't get everything that it needed. So while sports at one time was really a strong factor in national pride in Cuba, had become in many ways late in Castro's life a national embarrassment. He was not much of a pitcher, by the way. He fancied himself as a pitcher, and he might have had a major league career. That's been debunked by historian after historian. In fact, the sport he was probably best at was basketball.
And, Michael, I want to finish by talking about Max Pacioretty. He's got 5 goals in 22 games this season. If you prorate that over 82 games, well below his normal pace. I was wondering, do you think, considering he's the captain, the fan base, and the media, a bit too critical on him, or do you think it's fair?
Well, you're always fair game when you play for the Canadiens. I thought the not coming out for the third star, that was a tempest in a teapot. I can't believe the minutiae with which people involve themselves in something like this. It was a big, fat, nothing burger. But it's interesting. I talked to Pacioretty a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the French lessons he's been taking, he had been taking, and I was hoping to do some kind of story on that. And he said, well, you know, it's been tough because, A, I'm not very good, and I haven't made the progress that I want. And, you know, in the context of Saku Koivu, the captain speaking French is always an issue, but I'm really not ready to discuss that. But he said, you know, now the captaincy is another weight. And so, you know, he's got a lot on his plate, and the team's going very well. And, you know, we'll learn a little bit more about it on this West Coast plus St. Louis trip. So, just everybody take a big step back. You know, just take a deep breath. This team's right now the best in the National Hockey League, and most of it's been done at home. Now we'll see them in a place that they traditionally haven't done too well. So, Pacioretty, no one deserves a free pass, obviously, but you know, Pacioretty's been a good goal scorer, and I'm sure at the end of the season he'll be 25 to 30 goals again, and how he does in the playoffs will determine how we view this season of Max Pacioretty's life.
Thanks for taking the time, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much.